This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 Nanaimo.
Suicide is a leading cause of death for people worldwide and one of the three leading causes of death for young people under the age of 25. Suicide has biological, cultural, social, and psychological risk factors, but despite its often complex origins, suicide can be prevented. World Suicide Prevention Day, marked on September the 10th, is an opportunity for all sectors of the community to focus public attention on the unacceptable burden and costs of suicidal behaviors and to promote understanding about suicide and highlight effective prevention activities. In Nanaimo, the annual Souls Remembering Souls Memorial Walk will be held on Sunday, September the 13th. Other planned events include a three-hour workshop called Suicide Awareness and Response on Thursday, September 10th, World Suicide Prevention Day. I'm joined in the studio by Heather Owen, community liaison and trainer with Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society, and Camilla McGuire, a participant in the Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society's Suicide Bereavement Support Group. Welcome to People First Radio.
Thank you.
The Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society receives an average of 42 calls each day from people seeking help. What are your frontline workers hearing from people, Heather Owen?
Well, they hear a myriad of problems and concerns that people are dealing with. Life happens to everybody, and it's not what's happening, but how they perceive it. So if life becomes hard and a burden and they need to reach out, it's not always about suicide, although a number of our calls do have a suicide component in it. We encourage people to reach out before it gets to that point so that they're able to unload some of that pressure. So we hear about financial issues. We hear about the recession. We hear about relationships. People phone in just for information to find out how they can help their families or others. And so it's very, very widespread, the different things that are talked about.
You said in an interview with the Nanaimo Daily News, it's not uncommon for people to think of suicide as an option. And that phrase itself, I'm wondering if you could speak more about that.
Well, actually, research shows that about 88% of all people will think about suicide at some time in their life.
So it's a common phenomenon then to think of suicide, for it to pass through an individual's mind.
Absolutely. The good news about that is that most people will not act on that thought, or the reasons for living will outweigh that, and they'll be able to move past that. But what we don't know is the people that don't get past it. It's what's happening in their life at that time. It could happen to any of us, just depending when those thoughts come up, what else is going on in their life at that time.
Now, there is significant stigma surrounding suicide, yet suicide is, in fact, a leading cause of death for people worldwide and one of the three leading causes of death for young people under the age of 25. Tell us more about stigma.
Well, long ago, the church made it a sin and the government made it illegal in an effort to try and, you know, make people think twice about going that way. But what that did was just actually drive it more into the dark and more isolated. And what we know about people who are feeling overwhelmed and suicidal is that they feel very lonely, very isolated, and a burden on everybody else. So they tend to draw within themselves. And what we want the message to be is that we need to draw these people out and recognize these signs and be able to get to them before it becomes too overwhelming for them.
This is People First Radio. I'm Kevin. I'm joined today by Heather Owen and Camilla McGuire from Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society. We're talking about suicide awareness and suicide prevention. Suicide is not just about the person who dies, but is also about the people left behind. The Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society runs a suicide bereavement support group for people affected by suicide. Several of the members of that support group have shared their stories on the internet in video clips produced by Neil Cutler of Philanthro Media Productions in Nanaimo, British Columbia. These survivor stories are used in high schools, universities, forums, and other venues to provide awareness, education, and compassion about the tragic reality of suicide. In this way, suicide survivors are turning their pain and anguish into something healing. James McGuire was just 14 years old when he died from suicide May 15th, 2003. James' mother, Camilla McGuire, is with us in the studio. Camilla, you said that James was a spirited child who had lots of friends. Tell us about James.
Well, and this is very difficult to share. James was a very courageous, I think, young boy, and a very sweet. I mean, as a child, he was a very sweet little boy. He enjoyed many, many activities. He loved to fish and to hunt and to hike, and he loved skiing. He had lots of friends. He was a great brother. He has four brothers, all boys. We have five boys altogether. And he was just very, very outgoing, very, very appealing, and just a very social character. So for us as a family to have him take his life by suicide was an unbelievable shock. So,
what was your experience of James in the weeks before he died?
Well, he was out and he was with his friends. He was attending school. He was doing things that most normal 14-year-olds do. However, there were a couple of incidents that came to our attention. And there was he informed us 2 days before he died that he was actually being bullied at school, and he pointed out the person who was doing that to him. And you know, his words were, "I know who I am, I like who I am, and I don't care what anybody else thinks." And so as far as the weeks leading up to his death, you know, there were a number of situations that we felt that he was struggling with, but never ever to the degree that we felt that he would take his life.
You said that you never thought he would take his life by suicide, and yet that's what happened. And I'm anticipating that you could speak directly to the terrible shock mm-hmm. that was associated with that.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, and to set the scene, you know, the night before that he passed away, he informed us that he wanted to get up early in the morning. There'd been a situation at the school, and he felt that he needed to make some changes. And, you know, we said to him, "Do you need our support?" And he said no. He often went into school early. He was watching TV, was doing some weightlifting. He phoned and applied for a position and got a position of work, employment for the summer. He arranged to go hunting with his uncle in the fall. He said that he wanted to earn some money to get one of the water pistols and have fun on the weekend. It was the long weekend, the following weekend. And the last words he said to us was, "You know, wake me up early. I want to go into school." And I got up early and I was out of the house. I went to the gym, came back, and said to his father, his dad, "You know, Ray, can you please go and wake James up early? He wants to go into school." And Ray went into his room and he was hanging. He'd hung himself. So, yeah, the initial shock, Ray and his older brother went into the room and found him hanging there. And the scream was unbelievable. Nothing that you would ever, ever imagine. So I ran into the room. And by that time, they had taken him down, and he was on the floor. And, yeah, it was just my shock. It was surreal. I said, "It's okay, James. It's okay. Nobody will ever hurt you again. You are okay." And those were the only words I could say to him. So it was unbelievable. And, yeah, the shock was, I think, for 5 years after, I mean, it's been 6 years now, but for the first 5 years, everybody is in survival mode. So it is an incredible shock.
This is People First Radio. I'm Kevin. We're talking about suicide awareness and prevention today. World Suicide Prevention Day is September the 10th. I'm joined in the studio by Heather Owen, community liaison and trainer with Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society, and Camilla McGuire, a participant in the Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society's Suicide Bereavement Support Group. Camilla's son, James McGuire, died from suicide on May 15, 2003, at 14 years of age. Camilla, you've said that James' death affects every part of who you are as a family. Tell us more about the after effects of James' death.
Well, I think what happens, as I said earlier, is everybody does go into a survival mode. And so that for us as a family, and I think every person deals with it differently, it's an unbelievable shock. And so I think for us, we each went into our own place of coping. We have a younger son, and he's struggled as well since James died, because every milestone for him is a milestone that that James didn't reach, and that's been a real challenge for him as a younger sibling. So if getting support, getting the counseling, we each have done our individual counseling, and we've done counseling together. The hospice was a wonderful support for Lawrence because he was younger. For the whole family, we sought out private counselors. And then, of course, the support group, the survivors of suicide, thankfully came about. And If only that had been there at the very beginning, I think we would have been able to cope a lot better with our grief. You know, it's a very difficult thing for other people, I think, to understand the ramifications of losing a child to suicide or even an adult to suicide. I believe it's different. I lost a father when I was 15, and this is nothing like, because there's so much shame and guilt and the what ifs and why didn't we, because leading up to his death, as I spoke about, you know, you asked me what happened the week before. Those could have been signs, but we didn't know that he was at that point or at that much risk to himself. So since his death, you know, we have the anniversaries of his birthday, of the date he died, of, you know, Christmases and Easters and all those things, you know, reaching the age of 21, he would have been 21 in August. And so what would he be doing? You know, where would he be? So it's huge. It doesn't end. And I've quoted that it's like a life sentence, and it is. It's a life sentence. Mm.
Heather Owen, what have you seen through your work at the Crisis Society? What have you seen in terms of the experience that Camilla McGuire is sharing with us today, the experience of other families and individuals who've shared similar losses? What are some of the things that you see in the work that's being done there on the bereavement side?
Well, just like Camilla has explained, it seems that when something like this happens to a family, the devastation that follows, it's something that people just don't get over. You never get over this. You just find a way to get through your day. And as life happens to everybody, it continues to happen to these families. So when the next thing comes along and it happens to them, their ability to cope with that is hampered, and it can cause so much, you know, turmoil within a family. Just to get through everyday life is difficult, and it's not just the family. A suicide affects a community. We've lost a beautiful young boy in James and in everyone that we lose, and this community needs to stand behind these families and let them know that there is no shame in this. That one act does not define that person. That was a beautiful boy that we lost. And I just, my heart goes out to these families, and I myself have lost someone to suicide. So I know that years, it goes on year after year trying to deal with these kind of things.
A British Columbia coroner's report released last year showed that 81 youth under the age of 19 died from suicide between January 2003 and December 2007, and a BC study of 15,000 students suggested nearly 40% of those surveyed knew someone who had either attempted suicide or died from suicide. Heather Owen, I'm wondering if you could just tell us briefly about suicide prevention efforts among youth in the Nanaimo Ladysmith school system.
Well, we're so thankful that we are sitting at a table with the Nanaimo District and Ladysmith and talking to them about how we can address these issues in our schools. And we're being proactive about this. So we are setting up protocol days for administrators and counselors and people that in the schools that work with the kids. And then we're doing other steps also where we're taking that information and taking it to the schools so they can spread that information out around the school staff. And then we're approaching kids on that level where we're giving them training, certain kids in a school training, that they can be the gatekeepers, the ears and the eyes, because they see their fellow students, and it's more apt for a student to talk to another student about being overwhelmed about a situation. And what we know is that the single most risk factor for suicide is feeling a loneliness or a isolation and feeling like they're alienated from their fellow from the other people around them. And so if we can reach out to them when they're feeling like that and bring them back in and let them know that we care and that there are people that can help them out there, that's the efforts we're trying to put in place.
On September 10th, World Suicide Prevention Day, a three-hour workshop called Suicide Awareness and Response will be hosted by the Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society. And on Sunday, September 13th, the annual Souls Remembering Souls Memorial Walk will be held in downtown Nanaimo. Heather, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the Souls Remembering Souls event.
Well, this is our fourth annual event like this, and we will be meeting around 2:15 at the Port Theater to start registration. And, of course, if someone wants to come anonymously, I don't want them to think they have to give their name if they don't want to. It's just a way of us taking information that we can reach out to others in the community. But we're asking people to bring a pair of shoes, and we'll have a label that they can put their loved one that they've lost, the name of that person, on the pair of shoes. And then around 3:15, we're going to walk along the waterfront in memory, carrying these shoes and giving that person just our thoughts and our love for that short time. And then we'll go back to the Port Theater, and about 4:15, we hope to start there will be Haley Breedlove from Qualcomm Beach, a beautiful young woman who is doing recording in Nashville, but she's coming to open our event for us and sing for us and be a voice for the young people in the community. And then we'll have a photo retrospective and honor those people that we've lost.
We have just a moment left, and I'm wondering, Camilla McGuire, if there's anything else that you'd like to add to our discussion today.
I think to leave it with the information to other parents and to other wives and husbands and grandmothers and family members that we do have the support group. And it doesn't matter how long ago your loved one passed away. We've got people in our group who's lost somebody 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, and people who've lost people 25 years ago. It's never too late to reach out, and you don't need to live alone with the grief of a lost one, and we're there to be a support and remember our loved ones.
Heather Owen.
I'd just like to say that if there's anybody out there that's feeling overwhelmed, that there is a 24-hour crisis line. There is someone there to help you, so please don't suffer in silence. Please reach out, and reach out before it gets to that terrible place. And for those who are listening that can spend a couple hours helping people and have time to donate, that they could reach out to other people in the community that don't have someone, please think about coming down to volunteer for the Crisis Line, because it's a wonderful and rewarding thing to do.
Thanks very much to both of you for coming in to join us today and to share your story and your experiences and information.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Heather Owen is community liaison and trainer with Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society. Camilla McGuire is a participant in the Central Vancouver Island Crisis Society's Suicide Bereavement Support Group. Her son, James McGuire, died from suicide in May 2003. Camilla shares her story in a video clip posted online at the website suicidememorialwalk.com.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM. CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.